Your best future customers are your repeat ones.
StayAllDay.com.
Pretty exceptional.
Work on your game.
I like the approach.
Work on your fucking game.
Everybody has or relates to what Dre's saying in a different way.
Work on your game.
I like the way he thinks.
Work on your fucking game.
I like the frameworks that he's put together.
Work on your game.
And I would highly recommend it to anybody that's trying to work on their game.
Work on your fucking game.
I think it's a good approach. It's a different approach, too.
Hey, you, work on your game.
Gave me something really good.
Work on your game. DreAllDay.com.
And his philosophy makes a lot of sense.
Not only work on your game, perfect your craft.
Work on your game.
He knows how to communicate in such a fabulous way.
I can't say it enough.
Work on your game. You are now tuned into the show where you learn the discipline to show up day after day to do the work, the confidence to put yourself out there boldly and authentically, and the mental toughness to continue showing up, doing the work, putting yourself out there even when the success you've expected to achieve has yet to be achieved. And on top of all this, you get a huge dose of personal initiative, which is the go-getter energy that moves any one of us, including yourself, to go and make things happen instead of wait for things to happen. And then we put all this together into a series of frameworks, approaches, insights, strategies, and techniques all underneath the umbrella of one unifying philosophy that is called Work on Your Game. My name is Dre Baldwin, also known as Dre All Day, and welcome to the show. And today's topic is, we are moving into the next part of our series here. Let me make sure I got the numbers right. We are talking about the big business principles that small businesses can use. This is part six of what is going to be a seven-part series. So we have today's episode and tomorrow's episode, and that will conclude the series. That does not conclude the show itself. We're going to keep going. More episodes after this. I got a lot of material on the docket here. So before we get into this, I remind you a couple of things. First of all, my daily motivation text, when we start sending it again. So any of you who has texted me and you haven't actually gotten the text, that's because we are still dealing with some technical issues on the back end. But when we start sending the message again, you'll be getting the message every day to your phone, guaranteed to have you focused, sharp, and on point. So just text me at my number is down below in the description, 305-384-6894. Secondly, Work on Your Game University. That one, there are no technical difficulties. All right, you can get into that right now by going to workonyourgameuniversity.com. That's the place where I do my coaching. If you'd like to have me as your direct coach when it comes to your mindset, your overall strategy, your systems for what you're doing with yourself and in your business, and the accountability to make sure you implement the way things need to be implemented, go to workonyourgameuniversity.com. That link is also down below in the description of wherever you are consuming this. With that out the way, let's get into the topic again. We're picking up where we left off. We're talking principles that you can learn from looking at big businesses, but apply them in a small business. So we're picking up on point number 16, investment in technology. When people hear technology, usually they think of things like computers and the internet or some type of software or a microchip or something that has to do with, you know, electronics and engineers and coding, etc. And while those are parts of technology, that's not specifically what technology means. Technology simply means, by definition, a practical application of knowledge in a particular task or a specific way of doing a thing. That's technology. So in other words, if I give you some new methods for how you lift weights when you go to the gym, that new method of lifting weight for you is a technological advance because I gave you a new technique. So the word technique comes from technology. I gave you a new technique for how to lift weights. That is, by definition, technology. So when big companies invest in technology, what it means, yes, it does mean, you know, electronics and software. And now every website these days, a lot of big companies, you see they have some type of AI support bot that you can talk to the AI bot instead of actually talking to a human being. And if the AI bot can't help you, then you get to talk to a human. So when big companies invest in technology, which they do, that means they're investing in new and better ways of achieving their outcomes. That's all technology means. New and better ways of getting to where you want to get to, which is something that every business owner should be doing. All right? Don't you want new and better ways of getting to your outcomes? And it may not necessarily always be a new thing. Sometimes it's a better thing that has already existed, but you weren't using it, or you didn't know about it, or maybe you weren't using it the right way. And sometimes it is a new thing because you need a new thing because the old thing has run its course. It doesn't always have to be new to be better. And just because it's new does not necessarily mean that it is better. So technology just means looking for ways to get to your goals that are different from what you've been doing up to this point. So would that help your business? I think everyone can answer yes. So some of the ways we do this in small businesses is by, and big businesses do this as well, but I want to talk about small businesses, is when you go to a conference, what are you doing? You're investing in hopefully building some relationships and getting some knowledge, insight, information that is going to help you do your business better. That's the reason why you go. When you invest in coaching programs, or you join a mastermind group, or you hire a consultant, What are you doing? You're investing in the technology that you're going to get from that group or that coach or that consultant that's going to help you do your business better than what you're doing at this point. When you sign up for a course, when you read a book, when you study any type of training materials, those are all forms of technology. Any of you who works in corporate, for example, you know the corporation that you work for usually provides a healthy amount of training materials that is designed to help you do your job at a higher level. All of these are designed to give you new and better ways of achieving your desired outcomes, or just better ways, or just ways, period. Maybe you didn't have any ways before. And these are all investments. That's why this topic is investment in technology, not just access to technology, but investment. Somebody has to pay for that. You work in corporate, the company pays for it. Now, if you're a small business owner, you pay for it. All right. That is the investment of being a business owner. And you heard me talk about investing in yourself. I've talked about it many times here on this show because it is this important. Big business needs this the same way that individual people need it. So let me give you a couple episodes where I've talked about investing so you have something to reference. So I talked about this in episode number 106. I talked about why you need to invest in yourself. In episode number 2625, invest in you. Episode number 2539, the best financial investments to make. Episode 2528, never go cheap on your investments. And I talked about how to invest in yourself and your growth in a three-part series starting in episode number 2467. So I'll let you get started with those three. Despite all the YouTube, basketball, even this show, I started as a writer and I am still a prolific writer. As a matter of fact, I send out emails damn near every day. I call this the Daily Game email. I want you to get this every day to your inbox completely for free. So simply go to workonmygame.com. That's workonmygame.com and get my emails directly to your inbox every day, free of charge. Again, that's workonmygame.com. The reason most people don't reach their goals in life is not because they never ask themselves what they want. Most of you do that. It's not because they're not willing to do the work. Most of you do a whole lot of that. It's because they never ask themselves the third key question, which is, who do I need to be? I wrote a book called The Mirror of Motivation that is all about asking and answering that question of and for yourself. That's why it's called The Mirror of Motivation. In that book, you're going to learn who you need to be as a person so that you can go get into that right energy, then do what you need to do, and then you'll be able to reach your goals and have what you want to have. And that sounds like the missing link in your process. And let me give you a hint. It is the missing link in your process. I'll give you a free copy of The Mirror of Motivation. All you have to do is cover the shipping and just go to mirrorofmotivation.com. Again, mirrorofmotivation.com. I will give you a free copy of that book so you can ask yourself the key question that you have never asked yourself, that most people never ask themselves, that will make all the difference in your success. Mirrorofmotivation.com. To move on to point number 17. We're talking here today about the things that we see big businesses do that you can extract the principles from and use in small business. So big business principles that small businesses need to utilize. We're on point number 17, consistent expansion. Consistent expansion. Now, remember in life, you are either building or destroying, you are growing or dying. You are getting better or you're getting worse. There is no neutral in the universe. Now, big businesses that are successful are continuously looking for ways to expand, grow, and serve more people at higher levels. Doesn't necessarily mean that they have to bring on more employees or get more office buildings, but they're just looking for ways to have whatever it is that they offer to the marketplace reach and serve more people, because that way they are making more money. And that is the purpose of business, is to make money. And I will get to that in a second, actually. So this is the purpose of business expansion. Business is always looking to expand because they want to be able to serve more people, and businesses compete against each other. How can we get more market share from the other? How can Pizza Hut get more market share from Domino's? Or how can Amazon take some customers away from Walmart and vice versa? So businesses are always looking for ways to do this, and they are not okay with the status quo. That means staying in the same place. Remember that there is no such thing as maintaining the status quo in life. Every day you are one day closer to dying as a human being, maybe a business, not so much, but human beings, each of us is, which means we are never the exact same person today as we were the day before. So there's really no such thing as the status quo, because the status quo is always changing. Each moment is changing. It may not feel like it, but it actually is. So either you're getting better or you're getting worse. So the question is, what are you doing business-wise to continuously expand, grow, and bring more value to your ideal people? So when I say continuous expansion, I don't necessarily mean you got to go from a 1,000-foot shop that you have in a strip mall to having your own standalone store that's 10,000 square feet. Not necessarily. You could do that. But the question is, what are you doing to continuously bring more value to your ideal people. You could keep the same size business that you have, meaning when I say size, what I mean is the number of people you have, but you can make a lot more money just by asking yourself a question: how can I give more value to my customers that they will spend more money on? Therefore, you can make more money from the exact same number of customers with the exact same amount of staff that you currently have. Now, this requires some strategic thinking. This requires some insightful thinking in order for you to figure out the answer to this. But this is a form of looking to expand. And when you're looking to expand, usually you end up doing it because the human brain is the most powerful tool known to man. So when we put it to work and we put it to use on a task, usually we complete the task. This is how the brain works. This is why focus matters so much. And this is why I told you that in episode 1193, focus is a force multiplier. The longer and stronger you focus on anything, the better you get at it. So when you're focused on how can I expand? And again, expansion can mean more people. It can mean more money. It can mean serving more customers. It can also mean getting more out of what you already have and giving more to the people who you're already serving. So there are multiple ways that you can expand. Don't think expansion just means you got to hire a whole bunch more staff and you got to take your company public and be on the stock market. Those are not the only ways that you can expand. The question you should ask yourself is, what does expansion look like to me? That's a good question you should ask yourself. So you can get clear on what expansion works for you, because maybe you have a mom and pop business and you want to keep it a mom and pop business. Maybe you want to pass it down to your kids and you want them to keep it in the family. Well, your family's only but so big. I mean, maybe you don't want that many employees in there, but you can find ways to better serve your customers. So what's something else they need that you could serve that is tangential to the current problems that you're solving for your customers? Again, just asking this question and thinking about this usually leads to pretty good ideas. So it should be clearly observable and explainable by you when you run a business, what your business is currently doing to look for ways to expand, grow, and give more value to your people. Because again, when you give people value, they'll give you value back. And in business, that means you'll make more money. So if you're following all the other points of this series, then your answer to this point here, point number 17, should be relatively easy. And if it's not for you, then what I suggest you do is go back to the first episode of this series, which was episode number 2902. Listen to the whole series all over again. As a matter of fact, all of you who are listening should be listening to the episodes of this show more than once, because you're not going to catch everything I say the first time through anyway. You know those days in your life when you don't really feel like being at work, you don't really feel like doing the job that you're required to do, but you have to do it anyway? Yeah, those days. We call those days the third day. Everyone has them, no matter what it is that you do. And you need to, if you're going to be a professional, have a system for getting through those days, because they're going to happen. I wrote a book called The Third Day, The Decision That Separates the Pros from the Amateurs, that systematically and strategically coaches you on how to get through those days so you can give your best effort when you least feel like it. I will give you a free copy of the book. Again, it's called The Third Day. All you have to do is cover the shipping and go to thirddaybook.com. Again, that's thirddaybook.com. Get a free copy of that book, How to Separate Yourself, the Pro, from the Amateurs, by showing up and giving your best effort when you least feel like it. Just go to thirddaybook.com. Moving on to point number 18. Topic again today, we are talking about the principles that you can extract from looking at big businesses and apply them in small businesses. Number 18 is enticing customer loyalty. This goes right along with what I just asked you on point number 17. Here's one thing any business can do, and every business should want to do, even if you're not looking to bring in a whole bunch more staff or customers. How can you get the customers that you currently have to just spend money with you more frequently and to keep doing it for a longer period of time? So instead of them being a customer, instead of your average customer being around for 6 months and then disappearing, how about if they stay for 6 years and then disappear? Well, you just multiply the amount of time you have that customer with you from 6 months to 6 years. That's a big expansion. That's a lot more. The average lifetime value of your customer has gone up a lot, which means your business has a lot more money over the long term, because you're getting one person to spend more money with you more frequently. And usually over that time, they may have a friend, they may introduce other people, they might buy other things, their lifestyle may change, and they can buy different stuff that you have to offer, or you may notice they need something and you can start offering it. So enticing customer loyalty can help any and every business. And I don't know of a business in the world that doesn't want their customers to be loyal. Actually, there are a few businesses, maybe like the bail bonds business. Maybe you don't want loyal customers. You don't want to see the same people coming in over and over again, but they probably do. So maybe there are a few businesses where you don't want to see somebody having to keep coming in. If you're a surgeon, you may not want to have to perform surgery on the same people over and over again. But in most of the businesses that most of you who are listening to this have, where you're selling things at a retail level, most of the time selling things to people that they actually want and not necessarily need and is not required by biology, And that can sometimes be required by biology, like food, for example. But the point is, you want to entice customer loyalty. You want to increase the average lifetime value of a customer, LTV, lifetime value, which is something you should know about your ideal customers, at least for your core offering. What is the lifetime value of these people? And how do I get that lifetime value to increase? Or how do I get more people to actually get to that lifetime value amount? So there are two questions you could ask just off the concept of lifetime value itself. So the best dollar to acquire in business is what we call the second dollar. And I talked about that in episode number 2840, how to get the second dollar in business. The second dollar just means getting a person who has already bought from you to buy from you again. That's it. Just get a person who has already been your customer to be a repeat customer. And what happens with a lot of businesses is that there's only a one-time customer. They come in, they buy something, and whatever it is, whatever their experience is, most of the time you don't know because there's not a lot of communication, and then they never come back. You want to get more people to buy more than once. You want to get multiple sales. Remember when I was working at Foot Locker, that was my first job out of college in 2004. I was an assistant manager, and the head manager and the district manager, they all were adamant that you always wanted customers to make a multiple purchase. A multiple purchase means when someone comes and buys something, you want them to buy more than one item at the same time. So this was a number that the Foot Locker headquarters, the head company, front office, head office was home office, was tracking this number. They just wanted there to be as many multiples as possible. So they wanted as many orders as possible to not just be a single product, but they wanted someone to buy more than one item at a time. So for example, if you were an employee and you used your employee discount to make a purchase, you were pretty much required to make a multiple purchase anytime you bought something. So if I bought a pair of shoes from the Foot Locker that I worked at, my manager would basically be adamant that, hey, you got to buy something else to go with. Doesn't matter what it is. It could be a $2 pair of plain white socks, or if you bought a pair of shoes, you could buy some sneaker cleaner, but you had to buy two things in the order because that helped the manager, I guess, or the district manager or the store or the region look good to the home office because you were getting multiple sales. And I'm assuming that Foot Locker knew what they were doing by forcing this. And I bet they probably still do it to this day. And last I checked, Foot Locker is still in business. So maybe, just maybe, that's the reason why they still exist. Who knows? I don't know the thinking of what was happening at the home office. The point is, they were looking to get customers to buy more than one thing. And I would assume, being that Foot Locker is still in business 20 years later, that this was part of the strategy that they realized, that anytime we can get customers to buy more than one thing at a time in a transaction, those customers may tend to come back. Maybe the store tends to do better if they're doing it that way. I don't know how they figured it out, but I'm guessing there was some type of strategy behind that. And my only proof, quote unquote, that they might have knew what they were doing is that 20 years later, they are still in business. Doesn't mean it's necessarily the case, but I don't know. If somebody works at Foot Locker's in the executive offices, then you can get in touch with me and let me know if I'm on the right track with that or not. Person who's already giving you money. They already know you. They don't need to invest as much resources in figuring you out. And you don't need to invest as much resources into getting in touch with them because they are already familiar with you. This is especially important for those of you who have online businesses and you can capture the information of the people who buy your stuff. This is the reason why, even though I have 35 books, and I actually got more than that technically, but let's just say 35 books, all my books are available on Amazon, but I never, ever send anybody to Amazon to buy one of my books. I always send them to the book funnels that I control, that Work On Your Game controls, to buy my books. Why? Because, well, two reasons. First of all, you get a better deal if you buy it directly from our book funnels. And secondly, when you buy a book straight through one of my funnels, like if you were to go to mirrorofmotivation.com to get your free copy of my book, The Mirror of Motivation, you're going to spend less money if you buy it through me than if you buy it on Amazon. And secondly, more importantly, I have your information now. I know your name. I have your contact info, like your phone number. I can send you something in the physical mail. I can send you a text message. I can send you an email. And I know exactly who you are. That way I can market to you again in the future. Whereas on the other hand, if you were to go to Amazon to buy my book, while you will get the benefit of actually reading the book, the content is exactly the same. It's the exact same product. The challenge for me is that I have no idea who you are. I don't have any of your information. I don't have a way of directly contacting you because you gave all that information, your personal information to make the purchase. You had to give that to Amazon to make that purchase instead of coming to mirrorofmotivation.com where you give it to me and we have that information. So I would always, any day of the week, rather somebody buy straight through one of my funnels than buy my products from other places, because if you buy from other places, they have the information, I don't have it. And I'm thinking about the second dollar in the long-term lifetime value of a customer, not just the one-time value of a customer, which is why We set the prices on Amazon. So I could easily change all the price in my book funnels to the same prices that Amazon has to reflect those prices and raise the price. But I will give you a better deal and sacrifice dollars today in order to have the long-term asset of having access to you and to be able to market to you directly tomorrow. Everybody understand what I'm saying here? So your best future customers are your repeat ones. Your best future customers will actually be your current customers, and you want them to become repeat customers. So when people already know you, you don't need to do anything to get their attention. Well, you got to do something, but you don't have to do as much, and it doesn't cost as much. Anyone who's ever worked in business and you've done any type of lead acquisition or customer acquisition work, you understand that the most expensive customer to acquire is the brand new customer, because they don't know you and you have to spend a significant amount of resources to build up the know, like, and trust factors that make them understand who you are, what you're about, and how you could possibly help them. Whereas the person who has already bought from you, assuming that they had a good experience, you don't have to convince them that you're good and that you're trustworthy and that whatever you sell is useful, because they already got that experience the first time they bought from you. So anytime you fail to get a second dollar from a customer, that's costing you, because that's probably the lowest hanging fruit that you can acquire in a business. So you always want to try to get that second dollar. And this is why you want to try to get people to buy something else while they're in the process of buying the first thing. This is the purpose of a sales funnel. Someone's making a purchase of the book, The Mirror of Motivation. Well, while you are there on that page buying that book, I'm going to offer you the Bulletproof Bundle. Why don't you get three more books? My book, The Super You, The Mental Handbook, and 100 Mental Game Best Practices. Why don't I just upsell you to the second dollar right here, right now, while you already have your wallet out and you're already making a buying decision? Why don't you just make another buying decision? Are you like that one? Let me offer you four more books. You like that one? Let me offer you you can sign up for a coaching call with me. So I'm going to try to get you to make as many purchases at once that I can. Because why wait till next week to get you to spend the second dollar? Why don't you just spend the second dollar right now? Why not? Some people will, some people won't. But if you don't ask, then nobody will. So you have to have the ability to ask. And again, this is something else that Amazon cannot do. This is why I don't send anybody to Amazon. So any of you want to buy any of my books, don't go to Amazon. All right, tell me which book you want, and I'll send you a link to go get the book directly from us so that I can market to you more in the future, because you're going to love the first book, and then I'm going to sell you the next book. Now, I'm telling you right now what I'm going to do. So you need to make it your business to build relationships with the people in your audience, so you don't always need to be looking for new customers. Doesn't mean you shouldn't get new customers, but if they have a good experience with you the first time around, then they'll probably want to be a customer the second time around. So you always want to look for ways to engage more deeply with the customers that you already have. You can serve them where you are, and you can have a sustainable business because you already have the customers in your space. So there's an article called 1000 True Fans. It's written by a man by the name of Kevin Kelly. If you're not familiar with the article, it has achieved cult status, just the very concept of it. Kevin Kelly wrote this article probably around 2007, almost 20 years ago. And it became a very popular article because it helped people who have small businesses, any kind of business. And he was writing a business using a music band as his frame. But this can apply to someone who's selling basketball training programs. It can apply to someone who sells books. It can apply to someone who's a coach, any type of business. This whole concept of 1000 True Fans. If you've never read the article, I'm going to direct you to go find it. Just look it up. It's called 1000 True Fans. He even wrote an updated version of the article. He updated it for a more contemporary times, probably around, I don't know when this was, probably maybe 10 or 12 years after the article originally came out. And Tim Ferriss, who was one of the people who was a big promoter of that article, he asked Kevin to update the article, and Tim put it in one of his books. But the article is available online. Just go look it up. You'll be able to find it. So this doesn't mean that you don't need to go finding new customers. Of course, you always want to bring new blood into your business. But you don't want to always have to go get a whole new set of customers every month or every year because your current ones are not coming back. So if you're bringing in new customers, that means your customer base should be expansion, because you still have the previous customers and you got the new customers. So it should be expanding and getting bigger, not being replaced, not having a whole bunch of churn and having to replace people. So you want a good percentage of your current customers to stick around. Now, there's a place where you can look at the data and find out who's sticking around, who's buying more than once. With all that said, let's recap today's class. We're talking about principles that big businesses use that small businesses should adopt. Number 16, and again, we're picking up on a series here, part 6 of 7. Number 16, investment in technology. Technology just means a practical application of knowledge in a particular task or a specific way of doing a thing. So who doesn't want to get more practical knowledge and new and better ways of doing what you are trying to do, which is achieving outcomes? Think everybody. Number 17, consistent expansion. It doesn't necessarily mean you need more people or you necessarily need more customers. It just means you need to look for ways to expand how what you're offering can give value to people. And the more value you give, usually the more money you're going to make, even if it's the same number of people. And number 18, enticing customer loyalty. You want to keep your customers around so that you can get the second, third, and fourth dollar from the people who you are serving, not just be limited to the first dollar or a one-time transaction. You want people coming back over and over again, because then you don't have to do so much work marketing to bring in new people. You can sustain the business just by serving the same people over and over again, while at the same time bringing new people in who get integrated into the world that you have. Best way of doing this is building a community so that people buy from you over and over again because of their relationship with you, not just because of your products. With that said, tomorrow we'll get into part 7 of this, what will be a 7-part series. And again, this is, as I already told you, the principles big businesses use, small businesses can apply and should apply. That said, make sure you text me so you're in my community. Number's down below in the description. You want to work with me directly as a coach, go to workonyourgameuniversity.com. Again, our framework based around mindset, strategy, systems, and accountability to help you take your game to its highest level of performance, do so consistently, and of course, produce results, because that's the business we're in, results-based business. Work on your game. Dre, all day. While you are here, don't forget to text me so you can be part of my texting community, where you can ask me questions, you can share challenges with me. You are messaging me directly. You can get a direct response from me because I do read and reply to my messages. My number again, 305-384-6894. One more time, 305-384-6894. Make sure you text me, because you never know when I'm going to send a message that could be the one thing you need to hear, the one thing you need to do, the one insight you need to get that could change your life. Make sure you message me, 305-384-6894. It's important to me that the supplements I take, if I take any at all, are of the highest quality. And that's why for the last 2+ years, I've been drinking AG1. Unlike many supplement brands, AG1 is consistently and constantly searching for how to do things better. At 52 iterations of their formula and counting, their team is always trying to find better ways to source, test, and aim to find the best quality ingredients available. So many people have asked me if AG1 is actually the real deal. And trust me, there's a reason why I've been drinking it for so long. Quality for AG1 is not just a buzzword. It's a commitment backed by expert-led scientific research, high-quality ingredients, industry-leading manufacturing, and rigorous testing. At each step of the process, AG1 goes above and beyond industry standards. I know I can trust what's in every scoop of AG1 because it's tested for 950 contaminants and banned substances, while the industry standard typically only tests for 10. Taking care of my health shouldn't be complicated, and AG1 simplifies this by making it so that there aren't a million different pills and capsules to keep track of. I hated doing that. Just one scoop of AG1 mixed with water every day. It's really that simple. AG1's ingredients are heavily researched for efficacy and quality, and I love that every scoop also includes prebiotics, probiotics, and digestive enzymes for gut support. I have partnered with AG1 for so long because they make such a high quality product that I genuinely look forward to drinking every day. So if you want to replace your multivitamin and more, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first subscription at drinkag1.com/workonyourgame. That's drinkag1.com/workonyourgame. Check it out. That link is down below in the description as well. One more time, drinkag1.com/workonyourgame. Check it out.